Christ's enemies exposed. Part 3. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 33. The Apostle Paul, who was an enemy, turned servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, described the born-again experience of a true child of God when he contrasted the past life, that is his own life, before conversion, to one that is different after his conversion. He says that he was spiritually a dead person, a walking corpse, until Christ gave to him spiritual life. And he testified of the observable traits of spiritual life when he testified to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. He says this, "And you hath he quickened," describing the Christian life, the born-again Christian, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, whereas in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, he described the grace of God coming into his life, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." He says, "By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." He tells us that there is a glorious future awaiting the child of God in heaven, and there is evidence of spiritual life with the putting away of sin, which he described as being children of disobedience. And he described the old life, he says, with the conversation in the lust of the flesh, according to the desires of the flesh and mind, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He was Satan's advocate, and the agenda of his life was to dislodge God in the hearts and minds of men and women. That is the description of the unsaved person under the bondage of sin and Satan and this evil world. But we see in our text here that Jesus was describing the scribes and the Pharisees as such unbelievers, and add that they were even persecutors of Christ and his servants within the establishment of a people identified by the world as a people of God by their profession. Jesus exposed them as false in these last two woes, in the series of eight woes that our Lord hath pronounced in this last sermon before he would be betrayed. This is his last public sermon. And we want us to see two thoughts. Verse 27 to 28. Sin unexposed and hidden by a righteous facade. And secondly, persecution of Christ with no true love for his servants. Verses 29 to 33. Sin unexposed but hidden by a righteous facade. This is the most scary scenario. If you are told that the people in the church who serves you or serves with you are fakes, you'll be totally stumbled and demoralized. But God wants you to know that Satan does infiltrate his church as he did the Jewish leadership during Jesus' time. And the Apostle Paul, after his conversion, by the Holy Spirit that is residing in him, exposed these falsehoods, these false persons in the church, when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel, he warns us, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So he asked the people of God to open their eyes and see. Jesus tells us how the lives of such men are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. 7 times in this chapter, Jesus used the words hypocrites to describe the scribes and the Pharisees. The word simply means, as we have said, a show actor. One who puts on a mask under which his true identity was hid while he is on stage. The word means a fraud, a deceiver, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a snake in the grass, a phony. And the word iniquity is the word abandoning, a crooked life. And this word there is one of 3 words used to describe sin. Sin itself, which is a missing of the mark of the law of God. And transgression, which is a rebellion against God. And iniquity. This is a description of one who lives a crooked life. And Jesus is using these words, as you see in page 28, to describe such men. And he tells us to open our eyes to see, even as ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So Jesus warned the people. And so the Apostle Paul warned the churches, especially the church in Corinth. He says in that same chapter in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." This is what Jesus is warning the people of Israel to watch out for, since these men are not of God. They have another spirit, an antichrist spirit. And if you listen to them, you will imbibe that spirit that will end up with further bondage in sin and iniquity. And the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus use these words to describe such characters. In verse 27, he says, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." You see, in Jewish calendar, in March, on the 15th day of the month Adar, before the Passover, it was a Jewish custom that they would whitewash all the graves in and around Jerusalem, all the graves and the tombs, with lime. And we are told that this is done in order to mark them so that the Jews would not end up getting themselves defiled by going near such tombs. And Jesus wished to point out that the outside of these tombs, if you were to see, so it's a familiar sight for the people, right? Something they see in their everyday life, and Jesus is using it as an illustration to help them to visualize, right, that indeed these such characters are beautiful on the outside. They look white, pure, clean. But inside is unchanged, full of bones and dead men, full of uncleanness and rotting flesh. So what Jesus is saying is that he's exposing the double life of such individuals. There are skeletons in their closets, as the phrase goes, that you have not seen, and that you should be aware so that you would not be deceived by them. Jesus says, "You appear unto men as righteous." Indeed, men judge by appearance, but God never does so. God sees the heart. And Jesus is God, and he's able to see through the falsehood, and was able to expose them. And he had to highlight to them, because a whole generation of men and women within the Jewish establishment would be hoodwinked to reject the only way of salvation that is open to them when they refused their Savior. It was that serious. And Jesus says to men who judge only by appearance, right, to be very, very careful. He asks them to see clearly, to see through the hypocrisy and the lawlessness and the opposition to the true content, the true spirit of the divine law of God. And he has spoken a great deal, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, to expose this falsehood. And now he is reminding them, because after this, he would be betrayed. And they would have to recall what he has spoken to them, so that they may have the wherewithal, the truth, to be able to help them see and distinguish truth from error, right from wrong. That's the first thought. And from verse 29 to 33, he tells us that such men are guilty of persecuting Christ and having no true love for his servants. It was a custom, you know, somehow towards the end of this sermon, our Lord is using many images, right, in the cemetery in order to help the people understand and see. Right? If you have gone with a loved one or you have gone personally to the tomb of a departed loved one, what will you do? Well, when you are there, you know, you would go and you are very happy because you are there to honor, to remember that departed loved one. You know, so as you go to the tomb, you see, you know, leaves falling all over. And, you know, you would try to pick them up, clear them. And, you know, you may have flowers in your hand. And you would bring them and place them there. And you'd be so happy to recall the good memories that you have with your loved one. Well, Jesus was using this picture. Right? He says that there are these scribes and Pharisees who would go to great lengths to beautify the tomb of the dead, especially the prophets, to show reverence to them. And yet he says that this is hypocrisy. There is no real sympathy. With those who were martyred. There is no real identification. With the spirit. Of this man. Who died. Because they were proclaiming. And they were advancing and they were advocating as a prophet, as a servant of God, the voice of God to the people. And he tells them that they do all these things, appearing so pious. To all who would see them go to the graveyard. And yet, they would openly, blatantly persecute God's servants. Of course, the Lord was speaking about himself. And in particular, about John the Baptizer. You remember? When John was alive, what was he doing? He was proclaiming the Christ. And what happened to him? Well, he was categorically silenced. His head was taken out. And so the Lord gave this example from the graveyard. Ye build tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if it had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. It says that, you know, how could the people in the past do commit such atrocities to the servants of God? And yet, they themselves are doing such things. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. He says that you identify yourself with them. And woe is to you. You know, our Lord has been pronouncing these divine judgments like thunder, you know, one after another. You know, if you have been or you are in a thunderstorm, you know how frightening the thunder is when it comes in a full storm. And here, our Lord, the divine judge, is pronouncing the judgment. And the Lord wants us to take full heed, to know that men and women can be capable of such hypocrisies. And the Lord wants us to be careful and be aware and be warned. He says in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? These are the same words, the same phraseology that John used to the leaders of Israel. O generation of vipers! Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. What are these vipers? He says that these are the little snakes, dangerous, small, that came at birth from a mother snake. And that these vipers have a certain characteristic. They are very subtle in their approach and very deadly in their attack. Remember Paul in one of his missionary journeys, he was shipwrecked and he was on an island and he was trying to set a fire and he was bitten by one of them, and how he was miraculously restored, healed. The people of the land thought he would die from the poison. You see, these little snakes are so much a part of the nature. You know, they are like the twigs on the ground, so you can't identify them. And that was what he did. He picked up one of them and was bitten. And so the Lord wants us to know how heinous, how troublesome are such characters, and he described them as serpents. It helps us to, brings us the picture of Satan himself, isn't it? The serpent who was in the garden that beguiled Adam and Eve. You remember? When they were in the garden, Adam and Eve was confronted by the serpent. And God told them that of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall not surely eat of it. Because in the day that ye eat of it, ye shall surely die. To die you shall die. You shall surely die. No escape. And what did the serpent say to the woman? Genesis 3 verse 4. Ye shall not surely die. Very scary statement, isn't it? And you watch how Adam and Eve were beguiled. The Bible says, the woman saw the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She had forgotten what God had said. For the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord wants to warn the people against such men. And he tells them, be careful. What happened when Adam and Eve ate? The eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They were ashamed of their sins. But here the Lord is trying to describe to us a group of people who are not ashamed of their sins. They would sin, and yet they would not reveal to you their true identity. Very scary, isn't it? And so the Lord wants us to be careful. To know the subtlety of the evil one. What is the remedy as we read all these dangers confronting the sheep of God? It is to know the truth. We must know our Bible, and the Lord has spoken. He has shown us the character of such. And he spent the whole chapter, 39 verses, to help us to see. We must know the truth. We must know our Bible. And we must be obedient to the truth of the Bible. John the baptizer was killed for proclaiming Christ. He was true to his heavenly calling and was viciously killed. Our Lord too. So will all who stand for God. For Christ, our Lord himself, was not spared. And the Lord wants us to be warned. He says in these two thoughts, to be careful of the man with the unexposed sin, with a righteous facade, and the persecutor of his Christ, with no true love for his servants. May God help us open our spiritual eyes to see the truth concerning the danger befalling his people and be warned. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for showing to us out of thy word the truth, the character of thine enemies. And Lord, we pray that you would, by thy Spirit, show us through thy word to know the danger and to be able to be protected from men of evil character. O Lord, grant us the insight from thy word and insight through thy Spirit to see not with our physical eyes but with spiritual eyes, so that we can truly see what thou seest and be protected from these dangerous characters. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.